studio. Here's Enshane and the Membrane.
Hello, and welcome to the Enshane and the Membrane podcast. I'm your host, Shane Thompson, and with me, as always, is my near-death experiencing friend, Ken H.
What up?
Ken almost died yesterday, but he doesn't want to talk about it. He's making these looks at me like, what are you doing, dude? What? I can say that you had a near-death experience without talking about it, can I not?
You can also do the podcast by yourself while I eat.
That's fine. That's a treat. We are on location. I don't know if you heard that in the background. The Camaro LT, very loud exhaust. We're here at beautiful Starbucks at Memorial and MacArthur in Oklahoma City. It's a beautiful morning here, and it's busy. It's busy. They do a lot of business. Starbucks, they do a lot of business. Ken, did you know that? Yeah, he's shaking his head yes. Okay, welcome. So, I'm gonna start out with a story, Ken. While you're eating, is that okay? It's kind of a long story, and I'm not gonna do a lot of small chit chat since you're eating, and I'm just gonna get into my story because I think it's gonna lead into what I want to talk about. Okay, nod your head again. Good. This is great. I love this. This is really going well. So, the other day, my father-in-law. He is refined. He's way more refined than me. He loves classical music, like orchestra music, like symphonies and whatnot, right? And I can appreciate it, but not to the level that he does. But he really loves it. He loves to go listen to him, and he's taken us several times, and it's great. I enjoy it. So he told me, this was a few weeks ago, he said, hey, I'm going to listen to this orchestra, and you want to go, I'll pay for a ticket. You know, I'm like, you had me pay for a ticket. I don't even care what we're going to see. When you said pay for me a ticket, I'm like, I'm in 100%. So I was like, yeah, great. So it's me, my father-in-law, and my aunt-in-law, I guess is how you call it, the threesome. And I didn't know where it was. I said, oh, Civic Center, because that's usually where orchestra stuff's at. He's like, no, Civic. He's like, this is a place up in Edmond. I'm thinking to myself, like, Edmond, I can't even think of a venue in Edmond that would have it. Maybe one of the churches up there, or like UCO. I think they have a pretty nice auditorium where they could do something like that. But I really was like, oh, okay, whatever. You know, I don't know. Something I don't know about, whatever. So I ended up driving for us, and he gives me the address, and I plug it in, and I'm like, where is this taking us, right? This ain't UCO. This ain't some mega church. This is, I don't know where we're going, you know, and then in the middle of the boonies, okay? North of Waterloo Road, and for you, those of you who live in the metro, like, I thought for the longest time Waterloo Road was the Oklahoma-Kansas border, okay? Ken's shaking his head, but I thought it was because I'm like, anything north of Waterloo Road is Kansas. So it's way up there. It's way up there. And so I was like, all right, whatever, man. I trust the GPS. So we're driving up there, and it's taking us to the middle of nowhere. And I'm really thinking, is this right? You know, I don't know. It's making pantomime, shooting himself and digging a hole. I don't know where you're going with that. So yeah, maybe that's what was going on. Yeah. So we're getting closer, and I get to Waterloo Road, and then there's more traffic, there's more cars, but it's at night, it's dark, it's two lane roads, and I'm like, well, this must be it, because there's several other cars here that we're kind of following in, and then I see it, okay, and let me describe. I'm gonna describe this whole experience in my story, okay? So, it's once again, it's at night, and I see these cars turning into this entrance, and it's a very large, like, brick wall with the name Adams College on it, okay? And it's got gates, like, pretty substantial gates. Now, the gates open, but it's a grand entrance, to say the least, all right? And I'm like, I don't even know Adams College. I never heard of this before in my life. So the minute we pull in, it starts feeling a little weird, okay, because they've got several several parking lot attendants, and they're in suits, okay, full-on suits, but they've got like a safety vest on in addition, and then they've got really nice lighted wands, you know, and they're like you know, circling, that type of thing.
Safety vest is in like orange vest?
Yeah, orange vest. Oh, on top of their, over their suits. But you could see their suit underneath. And I could see they're young. These are young guys, and there's several of them.
Black and white suits?
Yeah, I guess. I guess. It's dark.
They were all wearing the same thing.
No, not exactly the same, but yes, similar.
Anybody have any colored ties?
I don't think so, now that you say that. I don't think so, but I don't know. Maybe. I don't think so, no.
Mormon.
Okay, so anyway. So they tell me to go down here, and they've got, like, one of these guys stationed, like, every 10 feet, it feels like. There's a bunch of them, to the point that the guy's telling me, like, which parking spot to park in, which is also a little weird. I'm like, you just have to tell me to go where there's empty spots, and I can find a spot. But no, they're telling me exactly where to park. I was like, okay.
Well, how many people are coming to this event, and how much space is there to park?
There's a pretty good, it's a pretty big parking lot. Maybe at the size of Bethany First Church's parking lot, you know.
That's pretty big.
Yeah, no, it was pretty big. It was pretty big. And there were probably, if I took a guess, oh, man, maybe 1,500 people there.
Okay.
Yeah, there were a lot. It wasn't sold out, but it was probably like 80% full.
Okay.
So I parked the car. I'd already dropped off my father-in-law, Roger.
Shout out.
And my aunt-in-law, Helen.
You went and dropped them off, then you went back to park?
I did. They didn't want me to, but I kind of drove through the cones. You know me, I'm a rebel.
Yeah.
I drove through the cones, and then I dropped them off, and then I came back to park. So I'm walking up, and this place is, like, palatial, all right? It's got these huge columns out front, and it's well-lit. I mean, it is unbelievably, like unusual in this location. It literally is in the middle of nowhere. Okay. But it is palatial and grand are the words I'm going to use. And the grounds are, like, unbelievably well-kept, okay? Like, it is super, super nice. And so I walk in, and I'm like, holy crap. What? I never knew this place existed. And so I go to the door, and there's like young people all the while, men and women, but they're all young, like college age. And they're friendly, but, like, overly friendly, like weird friendly. Okay? You follow me? Just shake your head. They're not very engaged. He's on his phone. So I was like, all right, whatever, man. I don't know. It's some college or something. No big deal. So I go in, and it's got these three enormous chandeliers. It is super gaudy is a little too strong, but, like, elegant and palatial are the words I'm going to use. Like, really striking. Like what is going on? It just blew my mind that it even existed. So we go in and we sit down, and a guy comes up front, and he says, you know, welcome, blah, blah, blah. And then he says, you know, please silence your phones. And then he said, put them on airplane mode. And I thought, oh, he made a mistake. He doesn't mean airplane mode. Airplane mode means you can't even receive a signal, you know? Right. Like, that's not, no, you mean silence your phones. I was like, well, that's a mistake. You know, no big deal. Never did he say, like, put your phones away or anything like that. But he did say airplane mode. And Roger's like, well, that's kind of weird. I was like, yeah, that's weird. I think he just, you know, it's like he's flown one too many times or something. I don't know. So they start playing and everything. And they sounded great. It was a orchestra from Ukraine, actually. And here's another crazy thing. There were people, several people, not like one or two, like several people in the audience that had, like, Ukrainian flags that they were flying and waving and stuff. That was a little weird, but I didn't, whatever. They sounded great. And so they come to an intermission. They're like, oh, there's a 20-minute intermission. You can go upstairs, and we've got, like, pie and coffee or something, you know, drinks or whatever. I was like, all right, cool, you know. I don't want to see this balcony, you know. So I go upstairs. It's packed. And I get some $2 terrible tasting coffee, and I'm starting to go back to my seat, and they're like, no, you gotta, this young girl stops me, and she's trying to be nice, you know, but she's like, you have to drink it up here. And I'm like, I got, it's like 2 minutes, so I gotta get back to my seat. I guess I'm gonna chug it. I literally poured it out in the sink, which was frustrating. I was like, whatever. So I go back down to my seat, and I'm sitting there, and they give you this program, okay? And in the program, it does talk about the Ukrainian orchestra and a few different things, but then there's a big piece in there that talks about Adams College, not university, college, okay?
Spell it.
A-D-A-M-S.
I'm not talking on microphone.
No, you're not.
I punched it in there, and there's nothing.
Yeah, I'm going to get to that. Just wait.
Okay.
Just wait. So I'm like, I'm reading the program. It's pretty dark, but I'm reading the program, and it's talking about this, and it said it has 75 full-time students that live on campus. 75. I had classes at SNU, individual classes, like, in a classroom setting with more than 75 students.
Yeah.
That seemed a little weird. And then it said, oh, over 500, online students, you know, that type of thing or something abroad.
Okay.
And the whole thing is reading, like, it's touting everything about this college and the church, okay? So there's a church right next to this auditorium, right across the little street.
Okay.
It's Philadelphia Church of God. I'd never heard of it. Didn't know anything about it. And I'm thinking, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania? Is this like a, you know, they got a branch here? I don't know. Apparently, there's a Philadelphia in the Bible. Did you know that?
Yes.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Shows my ignorance. That's okay. I'm pretty ignorant. Mm. So I was like, okay, Philadelphia Church of God. So then I thought, okay, I wanna Google this, okay? So I have my phone, Ken, and it is on silent, all right, for the record. And I have an iPhone. And when you turn the contrast all the way down, you can barely see it, right?
Right.
Okay. It goes really dark. It frustrates the fire to me because my kids will do that. And I'm like, how do you even see your phone, man? It's like dark on dark. But anyway, because I didn't. Okay. Let me paint a picture here, too. We are three rows from the very back of this auditorium.
Okay.
We're in the back. Not the very back, but we're three rows. And there's hardly anybody behind us. And so, to my right, there are probably five empty seats, I'd say. And then there's two people sitting, like, right on the aisle. And then there's five empty seats. Then there's me. Then there's Roger. Then Sullen. And so I'm sitting there, and I'm looking on my phone, and I'm reading about this. And it's just, it's getting weirder and weirder. And it is, first of all, Adams College is an unaccredited institution. Did you even know that they had unaccredited?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, that's it. That's it. He's showing me on the phone. But you can't like go to their site. You gotta like, you know,
sure.
Find other people. I got all this from Wikipedia, so you know it's true.
Oh yeah.
100%. So I'm reading about it, and it's talking about it's unaccredited, and it's talking about it's a sect of the Worldwide Church of God or something. And then but the Philadelphia Church is like an extreme arm or a sect kind of broke off because they weren't extreme enough or something or whatever. I don't know. Like they're really into prophecy and their way is the only way, that type of thing. And I'm like, boy, this sounds like a cult. And then the next thing I'm reading, it's talking about different like cult groups, not cult groups, but like groups that are anti-cult are like have reported them as being a cult and that type of thing, have accused them. I'm like, oh my God. That's what I'm feeling. It's so I'm sitting there and we're probably about, I don't know, 30 minutes before it's done, and I'm on my phone, and I've, for the record, I've got my phone, like, really low in my lap.
Yeah, you're hot. You're on the down low like the movies.
Absolutely. I really am. And next thing I know, someone's tapping my hand. It's my hand is on my knee, and someone's tapping my hand, and I look over. It's the woman who's sitting on the aisle, okay? And she's standing up because she had to walk down to me, and she's like, she's real sheepish, and then she's pointing to the aisle. I'm like, okay. And the usher, if you will, it's a young man in a suit, and he's in the aisle, and he's looking at me very animatedly, all right, like almost like he's mad. He's like pantomiming, like, put your phone up. You know, like he's making motions, like in his jacket, like he's putting a phone in his jacket pocket, yeah. Okay?
Yep.
And I'm serious, Ken. I'm dumbfounded. I'm like, are you telling me to put my phone away? Is this kindergarten? Is that what we're doing here? I'm like, I've never in my life been told to put my phone away like that. And I'm dumbstruck. I'm like, I'm not being I'm not being combative, but I'm kind of like,
remember when we went
looking
to,
at him like with like, are you serious?
We went to see David Spade. They
yes.
were doing that.
Yes.
They were walking around because they didn't want anybody video in the.
Okay, that's fine.
Yeah.
I'm not video. I'm not. I don't have
I know,
my phone
but they
held
were,
up.
They were. I mean, they were pretty adamant.
You
there.
Can't tell me yeah. that I can't. Hi. You can't tell me that I can't have my phone out.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous. And
apparently
and
they did.
And I'm literally like looking at him like, you're telling me to put my phone up? And he's like, but you, he keeps doing it like over and over.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay. And then eventually I kind of just put my phone down in my, I didn't even put it in my pocket because it's uncomfortable. I just want to take my phone out. And so I put it down and then there's two people in front of me using their phone. So then he moves up and he's pointing at them and doing the same thing. Like put your
okay.
phone away.
Well, at least
the guy
you're not
in front
the only
of me,
one.
The guy in front of me was playing chess on his phone and I was actually watching him. I was kind of entertaining myself by watching him play
yeah.
chess. He wasn't very good. Bless his heart. But I'm like, immediately I'm just like upset. Like, are you serious? You're serious. And so I looked back at him, you know, and he's like looking at me like, and I'm like, oh my God. And then I thought, you know what? I'm a guest of Rogers.
Shout out.
Yeah.
This is his thing and I'm going to be good. I'm going to be cool. I'm going to be nice. I'm not going to do anything to make a scene. I was like, okay. Cause I was hot. I was livid. I wanted to walk out and go confront that guy and talk
sure.
to him. But I didn't, I kept my cool and I didn't use my phone. For the record, I didn't use my phone. I wasn't combative. I didn't. And so we end, and I walked out, and he was right there, and, you know, he's like, oh, have a nice day or whatever, you know. I'm like, they were telling you, they were all just, like, weirdly nice.
Yeah.
Okay? And when I left, it just struck me. I'm like, oh, my gosh, this is a cult. This is a freaking cult. So I looked up the definition of cult. We use that word a lot, do we not?
Yeah.
I looked up the definition. And I'm gonna read you here what it says. A relatively
okay.
small group of people having religious beliefs or practices, okay, that's any church, regarded by others as strange or sinister. Strange or sinister, Ken. That's the key word. You follow?
Yes.
Okay. And the strange and or sinister part of this is then reading about it, like I'm saying, they believe that their path is the only true path to righteousness. Okay, that's borderline cult right there alone. And then the fact that they're all in on prophecy and kind of following that, like following the signs of the apocalypse, like they were saying that COVID, you know, was one of the signs of the horsemen or, you know, the coming apocalypse, that type
okay.
of thing or whatever, blah, blah, blah. I mean, it was like, all right, you're a full-on cult. Okay, headquartered right here in Edmond, Oklahoma. And it's a large campus. Now the building, there's a few buildings, but none of them are nearly as big as their auditorium and their church. And I'm telling you, it was just kind of one of those things where like, I never knew this existed and it's right here in my backyard. And I think that's how a lot of the cults operate. They're not, at no point, Ken, did they try to like invite us to join their cult or say, oh, join the, now that entire pamphlet was built on trying to impress us.
Okay.
Like, look at all this. And then it was talking about their founder, whatever his name, Adams, and how he was personal friends with Ronald Reagan and has pictures in the program.
It says
I need
here
to bring
the
program.
The Worldwide Church of God, founded by Herbert Armstrong.
Yes, uh-huh.
So it's not Adams.
Oh, it's Armstrong College. I'm sorry. I already forgot.
Oh,
yeah.
Well, that's a big
Armstrong.
Part of the story.
It is. I'm sorry.
Dude, I'm like looking
correction.
At that. Okay, thanks a lot.
I just
ding dong.
Armstrong College.
Dude, I mean, at least we're true to our podcast. Who gives a crap about the facts?
Nah. I saw the name very briefly.
Oh,
okay?
My gosh.
What? I told you. I'm, my memory's not that great. Armstrong.
It says non-Trinitarian.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know,
that was part of the reason that they broke off, too. It's a fascinating read. It really is. I would encourage anyone to read it. But it just... It struck me once again that I know cults exist, and I know that there are extremist religious organizations that exist, but you always just think it's like in the middle of nowhere, right? Like, I'm like, this is not in the middle of nowhere. It's Edmond, Oklahoma. And I don't know the main thing that I was confused about is, where is all the money coming from? This place was multi millions of dollars, okay? And the church was the same way. So that's one of my biggest questions, is like, where does all the money come from? I'm fascinated by it.
Worldwide, it's not that many members.
No.
It's like 3,000.
Yeah.
According to this.
Yeah. But they talk about
Who knows?
In all these different countries and blah, blah, blah. And
yeah.
Everything's built on impressing you. Like, just showing you how wonderful they are and how much wealth they have and how society as a whole embraces them or blah, 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 or certainly these important people in society. I forgot to bring the program, but I'm going to let you see it eventually, and you'll see for yourself.
It says one of the prophecies, including Donald Trump remaining president. That was, maybe get it again. I don't know, but that's different than remaining.
You could take just about anything and use it as proof for whatever argument you want to make, like the end of times. This is a sign of the end of times.
I mean, he's saying like Pope,
go back,
Pope Benedict resurrecting the Holy Roman Empire.
Okay.
There's some stuff that's a little out there.
Well, look, you could go back to the beginning of recorded history and point to different things that say, oh, that's the beginning of the end, you know, right? Like, you could use any of those to make an argument. I'm like, that's just, wow, okay. I'm just...
Yeah, there's some stuff, if you have a Bible Belt Christian understanding of things, okay? Yeah, there's some stuff that's pretty out there. Yeah, I guess go read it yourself. But look up Armstrong instead of Adams.
My bad.
Yeah, but it's the Philadelphia.
Hey, and here's your financial advice. You cannot use 529 funds at a non-accredited institution. And I didn't even know they existed, man. I'm serious.
Did you ever have a sense of like, I love movies. So I've seen some movies that are a little out there. I think one director in particular, I can't remember his name, but I think he directed Hereditary.
Yes.
Remember I told you to watch that?
I've seen it.
And then Midsommar, the S-O-M-M version, Midsommar.
I don't know that I know that, no.
It's pretty freaking messed up.
But I saw Hereditary.
So in Midsommar, this college kid brings some of his friends out into the middle of, overseas, someplace that looks like Sweden or Norway or somewhere up there, some kind of Viking land. And, people keep his friends keep disappearing one after another. And basically it's this freaking, it's like a Norwegian cult.
Nice.
And they end up sacrificing all the friends except for one. And she gets pregnant. So they basically, to keep the place alive, they have to bring in people so that you don't have everybody being related, incest.
You got to change up your breeding.
Yeah, you got to throw some jeans in there, and not blue jeans. And they took one of the guys, and then he did the deed so that he could spread some seed. You like that?
Almost, that was nice.
Almost like sound like
deed, so he could spread some seed.
D O double G, the doggy, bring it. Do the deed, spread some seed. Yeah. So, then they take one of the girls. Well, they kill him after they get the seed. Don't need it anymore.
Of course.
And then they keep the girl because she's got to give birth.
Of course.
But the opening scene, they're at this outside. It almost reminds me of where we went camping. Is it Red Rock where they got the wall, the common wall, right? Yes. When you, a real wall, like a rock wall.
Yes.
When you come in, there was almost a wall like that, and they're eating on this big table outside, like 100 people all eating. And this is almost at the beginning of the movie. And then these two older people, they're being honored and got all this king and queen gear on, flowers all over them.
Okay.
And then they go up to the top of this cliff.
Okay.
And just jump off.
Whoa.
And they, so whoa, it's like, it's shock.
Yeah.
You know, and yeah, anyway, that's, did you get any of that kind of vibe?
No. No,
like,
sorry.
Like you were not going to get out of here.
No, no, at no point.
I know, I went off on a tangent and they brought it back.
At no point did I feel unsafe. The vibe was, like I said, it was overly friendly. Every one of them was like young. So they were all clearly the students that go to, I'm assuming.
Did you feel like at a casino, you know, you've seen movies at a casino where you're counting cards and then they bring you back into a room?
Yes.
Did you feel like that with your phone? Like,
no.
Like somebody's going to ask you to come back to a room.
No, no, no. I didn't feel unsafe. All right, that's not the word I'm going to use. The word I'm going to use is it was an extremely controlled environment.
Mm-hmm.
Controlled, like way more than I'm used to. And then all the people had this weird look on their face of like overly friendly look. That was just, it was weird, man. I'm telling you, it's just, I just had that vibe of something's just not, what is not right about this place? What is
going
on?
I've never heard of this church.
Nor have I.
And I've never heard of this college.
I don't think you could just drive up there and drive on campus, for the record. You could drive by it on, I think it's on the Boulevard, maybe? I don't know.
So you went up past... we're going to get off in the weeds a little bit here.
Oh, boy.
So you went past Waterloo. So Waterloo essentially is the street between Edmond and Guthrie.
That's correct.
If you're not in Oklahoma, you can look up those two
towns.
Or
Oklahoma and Kansas.
No.
No?
Yeah, my parents-in-law lived out there.
I know. They lived in Kansas for a while.
So, so you're out of probably some kind of city limits.
I'm sure.
And... How many miles north of Waterloo was it?
Oh, only like a half a mile. It's barely.
Oh,
north.
Okay.
It's barely north of Waterloo. It's
well, I'm gonna go looking for it now.
You should. You should. I'm gonna tell you.
Should
exactly
I bring a gun?
I would. No, no, no gun needed. Don't try to go in. I don't think you can get in. I'm telling you, big gates there. And
did
and
the
like a guard
did the
or
pamphlet
something.
Have anything about religion in it?
It's
like welcome to our church. Blah blah blah. You know, we do three things. Love one another.
Yeah.
Love God.
It's Bryant.
Love the world.
It's Bryant and Waterloo Road. It's just north of Waterloo Road on Bryant, just for the record.
Okay.
No,
so
I don't.
Extreme northeast Edmond.
I don't think so, no. It really didn't. It was more about just telling you about the university, about the a little bit about the church, but more about the university and the found. That is a very loud motorcycle.
Crotch rocket.
That's very, very, very loud. Why we need to have? Remember when we had inspection stickers? You know.
Yeah.
Maybe that guy needs one right there. But anyway, so what was it saying? It's way up there.
So it's way northeast.
Yeah. I don't think you can just. I'm serious. I don't.
Well,
there's
I didn't,
big
I didn't
gates
say I was
gonna
go on the campus.
Okay, good.
At least I'm not gonna do it during the day.
Don't go during the day.
Well, I'm gonna.
You could try to sneak on at
night. Yeah, I'm gonna go jump the wall at night.
Yeah, like me at Walt Disney World.
And so, but again, I'm with you. Like, how does 3,000 people have this much? And I'm a sucker for these cult shows.
Oh, me too.
You know, like...
That's what I want to talk about.
Okay, so we hadn't even started what we're talking about?
No, well, we're going to get deeper into... That's a specific story about a cult, a near cult experience.
So I'm
and
trying,
I want to talk
I'm
about cults
think,
in general.
I'm trying
I want
to
tell
think,
you some of my...
How many people do you think was in that... The Mormon sect that broke off and they had all the kids?
Thousands.
You think it was thousands?
I think so.
And they tried to relocate to Texas.
They did.
And
they created like a whole new city and stuff.
Like, I think they went into Arizona, so they were close to Utah still, but and started something there. Then they were going off into Texas. That's kind of messed up.
Yeah. Look here. I figured it out. I figured it out, Ken. Cults fascinate me.
Yeah.
As they do you, right?
Yeah, I'm pretty fascinated.
Why do you think people are drawn to cults? Number one, let's start with that.
Well,
I know the answer, so there is a right and wrong answer here. Just so you know.
So you have, I think you have kind of two phases.
Okay.
You have the initial phase where you get somebody in. So obviously those are typically going to be adults.
But why? Looking for would they something. Join? Okay.
Scientology is a big one.
Okay.
Answer your
question.
Well, hold on. I'm going to tell you how they do it.
Okay.
So they really push self-help. Like, come into the reading room.
Okay.
We can help you accomplish this.
Self-improvement.
We have a lot of books, you know, and they're pushing the library system.
Self-improvement.
Self-improvement, self-help.
Yes. You're not good enough. We're going to help you be better, that type of thing. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes.
And so that gets people in off the street. Then once you're in, I mean, there's a process to that. People are smarter than me. They get you dependent on it, and then... And then I think for some level of the people involved, there's also a power element for maybe the leadership.
That's for the leadership, yes. But I'm talking about regular people joining cults. Let's start with that.
I think, psychologically, I think everybody per se has probably some kind of need in their, quote, heart or their soul.
Keep
if you
going.
Believe in
You're
that,
getting really
that
warm.
They need
You're
to,
dancing
that,
all around
that,
it.
That needs to be filled with something.
Okay. Sense of purpose.
Purpose, I like that.
Okay. Sense of belonging, right? So to your point, we all have that desire.
You get in because
for purpose and belonging.
And then you get this group of support around you.
Yes, but maybe you don't feel like you belong in whatever group or organization or family or society or whatever you're participating in. And this sounds appealing to you because you're like, hey, you belong with us. You'll be part of something
bigger. The truth is, and I've heard this... with people with psychological issues to just your average folk, and then how you handle it kind of separates you out. But if we really thought about our mortality every day,
yes,
we probably couldn't handle it.
No, I try not to.
So we use things like religion, cults, to kind of give meaning to the world, give purpose to the world, too.
Yes,
and then that helps us, number one, you know, check a box that's way down deep that we don't talk about at parties.
Faith, nice. Faith gives us that sense of purpose, does it not? Right. That's a big piece of faith.
And it can get big enough that it becomes cultural, like some of these bigger cults.
But then there are faith systems that are detrimental to society. That's where we call them cults, and we kind of deem them bad.
And I'm gonna pick on us for a minute. I mean, there's not a whole lot of difference between the word cult and then, you know, put another word in there, denomination, faith system, belief system.
Okay.
It's the size of it. And then, but that word cult has a little bit of the negative. There, you throw in just a little bit of some kind of negative, weird.
What did I just tell you?
I know.
Strange sinister.
Yeah.
Strange or sinister.
And so, I'm gonna pick on the Catholic Church. There's some.
Oh boy.
Okay, I know. Is it the world's largest religion? Maybe.
Yeah, I think it is. Yes.
So, there's a lot of negative stuff that's gone on in the Catholic Church.
Okay.
And again, I'm not claiming. I'm not an expert. I hadn't done any kind of investigation into it. But I mean, priest with kids. That's a common knowledge nowadays.
I know that.
So is that a cult? I'm just throwing that out there.
No, listen.
Or that's just a piece of it that went off the rails.
Absolutely. That's what that is.
And that's what I believe, too. But,
okay.
But I'm just throwing that out there. That's pretty... Hey, it doesn't get more sinister than that, does it?
You know, no, it doesn't. I'll tell you what I think is a cult, or cults, and people don't think of them as cults.
Starbucks?
I don't want to get into that.
What's that symbol mean?
I don't want to talk about that either.
Yeah.
Gangs. Think about how much gangs... Okay, I've been watching,
but they don't have that religious faith based purpose.
No, there is a faith, but there's so much similarities. Yeah. The sense of belonging, the sense of community, the sense of kind of giving yourself to a larger group, a larger purpose.
Yeah,
that's why people are drawn to gangs, Ken, because it's basically like that cult. It's giving them that sense of belonging,
social
sense of purpose.
Commonalities between all these.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely.
And again, I'm with you there.
So, I understand why people join cults, okay? And every time I watch one of these cult shows. At first, I kind of dismiss the people that join them.
Right? Yeah, I do
like,
too.
Like, they're idiots.
Uh-huh.
They have problems or whatever. And then you see interviews with them, like, after the fact, and you're like, holy cow, that's me. This guy is just as intelligent,
but
just as normal as I am, yet he fell for this for these reasons. So we are all susceptible.
But the people that do that, at least in the interviews I've seen, they all talk about this moment they had to wake up.
Yes, yes.
Like a point of discovery.
Eventually it stops working, right?
And
you realize what's going on. And to your point, getting back to what you said earlier, like there's two pieces to a cult, really. There are those that are in the power, and they kind of make the rules. And the system works for them. And typically that's a man. And typically he has to have sex with everyone because all the children need to be his offspring because that's what God told him, right?
Charismatic.
Yes. And then typically they separate the husband and wives, that type of thing, because you don't want those relationships kind of trumping the relationship to the cult or specifically to the leader, right? Because the leader is God in those cases,
well,
right?
So
like David Koresh is specifically
on these cult shows, they separate. If they're targeting you, you get separated out somehow. Or cut off
if they sense that you're kind of waking up, right? Like, and when I say waking up,
Scientology does that. I don't want to pick on. Well, I mean, what do I have to lose? I don't care. Because I'm gonna treat anybody equally. Okay,
even
if you're in a cult, I still on a level. I love you and want the best for you, and I don't want
me too.
Bad
of course,
for
I do,
but. I'm thinking about these religions that will shun you or shun your family or make you cut yourself off from your family.
Yes.
Jehovah's Witness does that.
Okay.
Scientology
does
that.
Okay.
Even some, I'm not going to say them because I have some friends here listening, maybe even listening. There's some groups in Oklahoma even that will have you kind of separate yourself out.
Sure. Sure. It's anything that's cult-like is going to have that extreme view, and so if there's an influence in your life, even if it's a family member, that is not on board with that mission,
right.
Then they want to separate you. Of course they do, right? That's another key component of the cult versus a normal faith, a regular non-strange, non-sinister faith is very welcoming of everyone.
Yeah,
it's like we're not threatened by someone else with different views.
No,
because
I'm not.
We are very firm in our beliefs and we tolerate everything, whereas a cult doesn't tolerate.
Yeah, I'd rather go and be closer to them.
Yes, yes.
On some level.
Absolutely.
At least in theory.
Absolutely.
Name some, our lifetime.
Okay.
This is where I get excited. Name some cults or some cult groups that we know about, our age group that we know about, we've experienced or seen documentaries of.
Okay. Sure.
Name some.
Well,
big
David
ones.
Koresh, number one.
Okay.
Branch Davidians.
Branch Davidians, right? Down in Waco.
Yeah,
and
that's
they had
the closest one to us.
The alcohol, tobacco, firearms went in and,
exactly.
and basically
I've
blew
seen,
the crap
I've seen
out
multiple
of
specials.
Yeah.
I'm fascinated by everything about that story.
And that one was he is having sex with the the women and
100%.
It was more your classic kind of weird.
It was a very he was God. To them, like he spoke directly to God, and whatever he said was the word of God, and therefore whatever he wanted was what everybody did because they
also
thought that's what God.
But he
wanted.
Also played in a rock band down at a bar down the road.
He did. Yes. he did.
So okay, a question. let's focus on that one for a minute.
Okay. Okay. Deal.
Do you believe?
Okay.
I'm talking like really believe.
Okay. I'll tell you the truth.
That he believed it, or do you believe that he was kind of faking it and bought into the power part and liked all that?
I believe that it starts with him truly believing that I'm special, right? And there's probably, frankly, some type of mental illness that comes into play.
Okay.
Where you say people are, neurotic or...
Narcissistic.
Narcissistic, that's the word, right? Like...
Sociopath.
That's a documented condition, correct? Right. So we know that those people exist out there. So I think these are narcissistic people who then get a little confused because they just think, well, everyone is here to serve me. And then they feel like, well, I must be special, right? And therefore, whatever I feel, that's kind of how God's talking to me. And so I think that there's an element of belief to it. But then it goes off the rails because with ultimate power comes ultimate corruption, right? To the point that then they just feel like I can do whatever I want to do because I'm the only one that matters, right? So, oh, I want to do this. So that must be what God wants me to do. So that's what I'm going to do. So I think it's more of that than just a pure con. I don't think it's just a con, if that's answering your question.
Yeah, he wasn't a con. He was disturbed.
Disturbed,
on
exactly.
some level.
And he, narcissistic
I
is the word.
I remember just a piece, because they did a pretty decent movie or series a while back, a few years ago. And I think he locked himself in a room and was trying to write a new Bible or a new book There was a component to that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I agree with you on that one. I think he was a little disturbed.
Okay. Next. I'll do another one. I can think of another one.
Okay, go ahead.
Heaven's Gate.
Okay.
That was our lifetime.
Is that the... they all committed suicide.
That's correct.
And,
it was in California.
Yeah,
it was Halley's Comet. That's correct.
Yeah,
like they were gonna basically ascend when Halley's Comet passed,
right.
And they were gonna fall. And there were, I don't know if there were 100. I don't know the exact number. Scott,
shout out.
Get in
shout
here.
Out.
Look that up. How many people were involved? They were all in like onesies or something.
Yeah,
and
in a bunk. I remember a bunk room or something.
Yeah, a bunk
vaguely.
Room. They were all like in bunk
they
beds, and they committed suicide because they thought they were... But the leader didn't. He then shot himself, I think, is what... It's always like that. Like
didn't he have a name like Zorbot 3725?
Yeah,
100%.
And there are videos of him talking about that stuff, and I'm like, okay. And there are, and I feel like all the people were young were part of that group.
I almost think, so I'm looking at that one, and I think a regular person could get sucked into a cult
based
on certain personality.
100%.
That one was so small, I think. All the people were probably a step beyond. They were all probably disturbed on some level.
Yeah, yeah.
Like almost that was a group of mental illness.
I think you target like young runaways that are that have so many problems in life and they really are seeking purpose and they'll accept it from anyone.
But
and if you're accepting
older,
on that level.
They were not all kids in that, though. I think they were.
I don't know.
Like middle-aged, like
Scott,
middle-aged people.
Out.
I don't
Tell
know.
Tell us the average age of Heaven's
What's
Gate.
What's probably the biggest, there's one that I'm thinking that's bigger than all these others put together.
Jim Jones?
Yes.
Okay.
I think
what was the name of his
I don't remember.
Church?
The People's Church or something.
People's
like
Church.
Yeah, something
I think
like
that's
that.
Exactly
it changed names a few times. And again, in case you don't know, listeners, we grew up in a cult called Nazarenes. that was a joke. We're still...
That was a joke, for the record.
We still go to Nazarene Church. But... I think he was a Nazarene preacher at one time. He had changed denominations a few times because he never could fit in.
Okay.
And I think he took a lap through the Nazarene
church.
Did you
watch the movie that
San
was based on that?
I've seen multiple. Documentaries.
Yeah.
Documentaries of people that are living. He
yeah,
had
me too. Me
one
too.
Of his
I'm fascinated.
Maybe
by
more
it.
Than one, but one of his kids survived.
Yes.
He had a kid. I don't know whether he adopted him or what, but it was because he's a white guy and he adopted a black kid, I think.
I don't think he was white.
Jim Jones was white.
He was like, I don't know, Filipino or something.
No.
Sure?
He may have had something else in him, but I think he was pretty much white guy from California.
Oh, is that where the church was originally?
I think
it was
up in San Francisco.
Okay.
And I think they moved around and they bought some land, blah, blah, blah,
well,
blah,
and
blah.
Then clearly,
I'm not an expert
clearly
on it.
Clearly, he wanted to be more extreme than the local government and or federal government would allow him to be. So he just thought, hey, I'll just move somewhere else.
So they packed up and moved to
Honduras?
No.
Somewhere in Central America.
Yes. Or Africa.
No, it wasn't Africa. It was not Africa. It was Central America. Guatemala?
I'll look it up. But
I'll look it up. You keep talking
about it. One of his kids was playing in a basketball tournament and wherever they were at over and whatever country they were in. It's on the tip of my tongue, man, where they went to. Just put Jim Jones.
I know. I'm looking it up now.
But anyway, I'm going to get back to the story.
Get back to the story.
So they sent like a
senator.
It was
the People's Temple. The
People's Temple, okay. Uh-huh. They sent like a senator because people start asking like, hey, my family's
Jonestown,
gone.
Jonestown, Guyana.
Yeah.
Guyana. I said Guatemala. I was close with the G. just for the record.
So Guyana.
Look at Guyana. Him. He doesn't look. First of all, he looks sinister. Okay, he's always wearing those sunglasses.
He's legit, man.
Oh golly, he would scare
and
me.
And he was on drugs and you know.
Oh yeah.
Taking stuff. Yeah. And he kind of he went.
You know
off
how
the
old he
end.
Was when he died?
No, 50.
47, Ken. Oh, God, we're older
looks,
than him.
He looks so old. Golly.
But yet he
did so much.
He
in
had
his
an
life.
Entire cult
in his short life. He did so much.
47, and we're 50, and yeah. We don't have a cult, Ken. No.
So anyway, he. You know, the government sent some people there, or the senator chose to go there himself. And
that's
then
right.
Had a,
that's right.
He was like, whoever wants to leave, leave. And then
that's right.
They were going to let him leave, and yep. It all kind of just went to hell in a handbasket
yep.
right
yep.
then.
Yep.
People were getting
he
shot.
Got back to the airfield.
Then he goes.
And then they just
goes,
shot them all.
Goes back to the compound and makes vats of Flavor Aid.
Yes.
Not Kool-Aid.
Ken loves to correct everybody on that. So not drink the Kool-Aid. Just drink the Flavor Aid.
And, what, they put cyanide in it?
I think that's right. I think that's
and
right.
So
I'm not sure.
That's, I mean.
Yeah, but then he doesn't even drink the Flavor Aid. He shoots himself.
Because he's a coward. Do you know a guy in my neighborhood where I grew up in Nederland?
Okay.
Committed suicide with cyanide?
Really?
Yeah, that's wow. messed up. So it's like.
Well, I think suicide
is messed like up. It's like eight houses down from me and across the street.
Okay.
That's our neighborhood's basically this one street.
In the, hood, in the hood,
he worked. He worked
in the hood of Nederland.
No, it's no hood. He worked for one of the refineries.
It's all relative.
And I think he took some of the stuff from the refinery, and him and his wife were fighting. So he takes it, and he's out in his yard, dies in his yard.
Wow, wow.
So
okay,
I
thanks for getting us off topic.
That was. I mean, how many people committed suicide in your neighborhood with cyanide?
None that I know, Ken.
I mean, who
but
has
I didn't live
cyanide?
In the hood.
Who has cyanide?
I didn't live in Nederland.
They don't have cyanide in
people
the hood.
People kill themselves left and right in Nederland because they're so depressed they live in Nederland.
No, they don't.
Shots fired.
All right. But that one's probably the most.
Can you name any
up.
Others that you can think of at the top of your head that you kind of personally remember?
Yeah, I mean, the whole Mormon sect that went off and they believed in having sex with minors and having babies and
I don't remember that in the news like
sisters.
When it was happening
oh,
real
do,
time
I do
okay
I remember the
I've
arrest
seen the, I've seen the documentaries
I
which
it,
I
is,
love
is his name Jeffries or Jeffrey something
I don't know
we need Scott to look
shout
that
out,
up too
out.
I don't know
we got a lot to look at
this kid's walking by he's fascinated with us
yeah Yeah, that and they.
I'll
they,
look it
they,
up.
We
look
were
it
talking
up.
About a minute ago. They ran from Utah down to Arizona or somewhere. Then they were building a new compound in Texas.
What Mormon sect? That what should yeah. I? How should I Google it?
Just type in Jeffries Mormon. Something
type.
Like that.
This ain't the 20th century. The 21st, Ken. I'm gonna do voice to text. Jeffries Mormon sect movement something something.
Yeah, that's not. Me and you may be the worst. The worst.
It didn't,
we've gone.
It didn't hear me.
We've gone off the deep end. This, because we know so little about this. This may be the worst episode ever.
Do I need to say my? Hang on, I got. It's googling what I'm saying. Jeffries Mormon sect or something. Something.
I don't know.
I'm gonna go.
Warren Jeffries. There it is.
Warren Jeffs, not Jeffries. Jeffs.
Are you sure? I've got Jeffries.
Yeah, I
here.
Got Jeffs. All those Jeffs.
Yeah, Jeffs.
Shout out.
All those Jeffs have got
shout
something
out.
Wrong with them. You know what I'm saying?
So I took Jeffs and turned it into Jeffries. We have multiple Jeffries
shout
in our
out.
Lives.
Yeah, see, Jeffs.
Yeah,
shout
says
out.
I'm
Jeff.
Agreeing
shout
with
out.
You.
Okay.
Again, that was I'm pulling that out of my butt, and I've had no preparation. H.
Me either.
So, is Saturday Night Live a cult?
Why would Saturday Night Live be a cult?
I'm being stupid.
You
okay,
really
name,
are.
Name
really
any
are.
More you got.
I don't know any personally. Now, I remember watching the documentary on the group that went to Utah and Bhagwani.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
And then that one was like thousands of people, man. Thousands
yeah,
and thousands. They're all dressed in red.
There was a movement for a while. I think
He seemed not as creepy as most cult leaders. He was older, and he wasn't having sex with all the women. Now, he did, like roll around in a Rolls Royce, and he had this long white beard. You know,
I think he did have relations with a couple that were close.
Maybe,
to him, but
it wasn't.
So
So I don't know if I'm combining this, but back in the day, you know, the Beatles had this enlightenment.
Yes, they I remember. Went to, yeah, uh-huh.
It was in India or somewhere.
I think so.
And so this is almost like part of that 70s, 60s and 70s culture that was popular for a while.
Okay.
And, yeah, they took over this town. I think it was, wasn't it Northern California? Are you sure it was Utah?
I think it was Utah.
Anyway,
Bhagwani.
He
had a number two, an Indian woman that was his number two, and then they had like a falling out, and then she broke off and moved somewhere or something.
That was a Netflix special.
Yeah, it was great. It was fantastic.
I enjoyed that. I'm going to say it's a...
But that was in our lifetime. Yeah. That was like the 80s.
I'm going to call it a cult. I'm going to go ahead and throw it out there as a cult, but Scientology.
Oh, sure.
Over the last 10 years,
the
there's
Leah
been,
Remini.
Leah Remini went off
good.
Against them.
That's pretty
and
good.
Then, there's a lot of celebrities in that. They had that celebrity center in California that's still open.
Okay.
Tom Cruise, John Travolta. John Travolta's wife has passed away. Kirstie Alley just passed away. It was a big member. Yeah.
I didn't know she died.
She kind of... So they... And Lisa Marie Presley, who just died, was in it at a certain point in time.
I knew she died.
And I think some of those... kind of in their own way spoke out against it, but they didn't cross the line because I think there's like supposedly the guy who's the leader of it, his wife has disappeared. There's been some, you know, police involvement and Leah Remini trying to get the police to find her. Miscavige, I think that's their name.
Okay.
The wife's name, last name, and the leader's name. But anyway, it's... I'm into all those TV shows.
I love them too. I love them too.
Talk about that.
I'm going to tell you something right now, Ken, and I believe it wholeheartedly. I could run a cult. I could get people to follow me. You don't think there are dumb enough people out there that would follow me if I just fed them what they needed, which is purpose and belonging?
Well, you can make an argument. There's people listening to this. I mean, all three of them.
No, they just listen to feel better about themselves. Yeah, like, I'm so much smarter than
freaking
Shane.
Idiots.
This is my. It's like you watching Trailer Park Boys.
Yeah, we know nothing.
That's people listening to this podcast. No. Listen to
cults.
Me. Listen to me. I'm serious. You don't have to be that intelligent. People are so certain people, right? Not. I'm not talking about everybody, but certain people are so desperate for a sense of belonging, a sense of purpose. That if anyone comes along with the right message, they'll follow you, man, because they're like, this has got to be real. I need it to be real, so I'm gonna go all in on it. And I could do it. I could totally do it. I don't want to do it. I watched The Umbrella Academy. You ever watch that show?
No.
It's a pretty good show. It's like
I've got another premise.
There's young people, and they have, like, superpowers or something. It doesn't matter. I'm not going to get...
Like Harry Potter.
One of them... Not exactly, no. One of them is his superpower is like he can speak with the dead people, okay?
Okay.
And he's a perfect like cult leader. But he kind of like accidentally starts a cult. And then he's just complaining about it all the time. Like everybody's looking at him as the cult leader. And he's like, I don't want to be your leader. You know, it's just hilarious. He's like, it's so much work having a cult. I don't want to do it anymore. But they all love him. And they look to him because of you know, just his aura and power and his abilities. And he's like, it's too much work, people. I don't want to do this anymore. Stop talking to me like I'm your cult leader. It's pretty funny. Anyway, so that's my point. I could, but I don't want to because it's too much hassle. All right. Now, that being said, I'm telling you, there are so many people out there. That's, you know, like I said, faith. That's why a lot of people go into faith. Sense of purpose, sense of belonging. We all need it. It's just a question of where do we find it, right? And for those that are struggling finding it, no matter how silly your message is, if it provides them with that, the belonging
and
purpose,
maybe this
then
is the time for our public service announcement.
Okay. Probably is.
If you're struggling... And you need to find a cult to fit in.
Okay.
Please call Shane.
Yep.
405.
Now, as part of my cult, I'm going to have you helping me build my building.
Well,
because that's what God told me he needed you to do, is to help me build my building.
Yeah.
Hold this piece of metal while I screw
it. You know the Jeffs group, the Mormon group that broke off the Jeffs?
Yes.
They did that. They... they used the all the boys because they're having babies nonstop.
Yeah, I know. Kids.
Well, they use the young adults, the men and the teenage boys, to basically work for free.
Sure.
And they go get these bids for these big contracts, these construction contracts. I mean, and they have a skill set.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's they make a ton of money.
No, well, okay. All, I'm glad you brought that up.
They don't have income.
That's I remember.
That was a big part
of
that,
specific group. I'm not going to mention this, but it was a Nazarene pastor that told me this joke. He said, what's the quickest way or the best way to spread, to increase the Nazarene church? Sex. Okay. Point being that when you have children and you form them from a young age, they're all in. So when you have them in your cult as a child.
Well, earlier I said that's the two ways to enter.
They're trained, baby. They're brainwashed from
birth. You have to get
birth.
The adults. Once you have the adults in there, then you have
of course,
the self-made
but that's why
model.
These groups have so many children because that just increases their army because these people follow orders, period, because that's all they know.
Well, thank you for listening to another podcast. As you can clearly tell, we are not professionals. If you need help, go seek a professional. This is not the place to get professional help. But if you do have any feedback, we do appreciate hearing from you. ISITMpod@yahoo.com. You can also catch us on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. Look us up. You know how to do it. And until next time.